the pod, everyone. My name is Jeff Budke, alongside
Peyton Moreno.
Peyton, good to have you here, man. It's been way too long.
I know, like what, almost a week?
At least one full week, and in that week, there was Mariner baseball.
Many Mariners games, and you know what? These are probably the four most important telling games of the season, and we are now here to lay down the law like Hammurabi.
When you think about last year's San Francisco Giants team that won the championship, their first four games really defined them, not of the season, but of spring training.
Well, and who can forget those first four games? I remember them in such vivid detail. I think that Brandon Ryan is going to be smacking home runs from that nine spot all year long.
I mean, he's one hit, one home run. I'm thinking Japan League Brandon Ryan this year. Like, where he's going to bat 162 with 37 home runs.
I would be okay with that.
That'd be awesome, by the way.
Maybe he'd pull out 50 RBIs from that.
What do you think? Like, more sacrifice bunts in that situation, or home runs if he hit 37 home runs?
I think that I think if there was ever a runner on base, they would have him sack bunt if he was batting 162. But then when there's no one, they're just like, swing away, and he hit a home run. So that's what we're talking about here. Lots of solo home runs and lots of sack bunts, and not too many RBIs probably for Brendan this year, given this first game that we've seen.
Yeah. In all seriousness, it was great to hear Rick Riz on the radio. I got called into work yesterday, and I got to enjoy the sweet, sweet sounds of baseball. And it was nice to have it back.
There's nothing like driving and listening to baseball in the car when you're busy with other stuff, because then you can get in the car between things and you're just thinking about the game. Like, I'm on my way to school or work, and I don't even have to think about that because I'm just thinking about baseball. And then when I get out of the car, I'm like, no, I want it back.
And we're back to reality.
Yeah.
Well, let's open up today's show. We went a little bit of a different direction. I know we could talk about games, but I don't want to do that.
No one wants to do that. I mean, in spring training, they're playing Peguero in left and stuff. Who cares?
With the outfield we have, we didn't even mention Carlos Vieira last week.
Does he bear mentioning?
I think that they're just auditioning him for a trade. And that's where we're going to start today, is the trade of Mike Karp. We had hinted at it last week. He was designated for assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And the Boston Red Sox did pick him up for a player named Cash.
A player to be named Cash?
Later. And I haven't heard of him. But I suppose with a name like that, you got to be good.
Yeah, the Cash Money out in left field, first base. It's weird to me that we can just sell players.
It's a common in like soccer, but baseball, that is, you know, Cash.
Yeah,
we'll take Cash.
Well, what do we need from the Red Sox that they would give us for Karp? Probably nothing.
Napoli?
would they? I don't think
no,
so.
No, they would not. In all honesty, though, if a player was last name was Cash, what position would you want him to play?
Designated hitter.
You think so?
Designated
DH?
Hitter. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I could see like a sweet relief pitcher, but I mean, it'd be better if his last name was Bartender.
Yeah.
Okay. We've gotten a little off track here, but
yeah, we digress big time.
I actually think Mike Karp will see playing time this year. I wish him all the best. He wanted to play. And that was his quote. He thanked the Mariners organization. He wanted to play, and he's going to get an opportunity.
I hope he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, me too.
That's my big hope for him. And I don't love the Red Sox, especially when they come to town and every Fairweather fan crawls out of the cracks and crevices. Or not Fairweather fan, but bandwagoner who lives around here, because there's always a million Yankees bandwagoners and a million Red Sox and San Francisco too, but that's because of Lincecum. But I mean, like, you know, I hope he does well there. That's all I can say.
Me too. Well, on today's podcast, we'll be talking about Taijuan Walker's new pitch, and I think we'll be taking a lot of time looking at the lineup for today. But we want to start with Joe Saunders, new pitcher. Peyton, go ahead and take it from here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Joe Saunders, left-handed pitcher, 6-0 all-time in Safeco Field. That's a stat that I heard repeated to me from reliable sources.
The radio.
But I don't know what team he was with when he got all those wins, but
he's been on a combination of teams in the past with the Orioles and the Diamondbacks most recently, but he has been a traveling man.
Yeah. The thing about that though, is you think 6-0 at Safeco Field as a left-handed pitcher, that's before they brought in those fences when it was a really attractive spot for left-handed pitchers, and basically the reason Vargas was so good. And I mean, he'll probably still do good in LA because of their stadium's not too bad for that either. But like, is Joe Saunders going to – are his Safeco numbers going to suffer because they're bringing the fences in? And obviously he's not going to win every game of the season just because he went 6-0 with other teams. But do you think that's part of the reason why the Mariners signed him is because of his hot streak?
You know, that's hard to say. It really is because they needed a veteran guy. I would be surprised to hear them say, like, oh, well, we looked at guys and their track record at Safeco Field and we picked the best of that. It's completely possible. I would just – that would surprise me if I heard something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing of it is when you look at Vargas, really, he's – a slightly above average left-hander, and I think Saunders is just kind of an average left-hander, and we brought him in to replace that left-hander in our rotation. But the 6-0 thing was just something interesting to note when I first heard it.
Just to have some consistency there, I assume that's not in six starts, it's over a stretch of time to not lose a game. That's a good thing. That's what you want on the team. The fences in left field are moving in 17 feet. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's all the fences are moving in a little bit, but the left field fence is huge, and they're taking down that scoreboard, so the balls don't have to sail as high to go out of the park.
It's 17 feet plus subtracting like half of the height, so it's like from 10 feet to 5 feet, it's going to add a couple more yards as well. And right field is only 4 feet, but 17 feet, a lot of people have been like, well, the Mets moved in Citi Field last year, it won't have a huge impact on the Mariners. Maybe it really will.
I think it could. I mean, who's to say? I don't want to speculate too much because I don't want to get my hopes up.
Yeah.
When I heard them last year, they're bringing the fences in. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's happening next year. But then I kind of calmed down a little bit and I was like, you know what? Let's not get too excited about this, because if they come out next year and things aren't great, people are going to immediately go to the fence thing. They're going to be like, well, they moved the fences in. Why aren't we doing better? Like, I don't know. I think it's not something that you should blame winning or losing on. It's just a thing that's happening to try and keep up with the league. Because, I mean, Safeco was huge, man.
Yeah.
That was a tundra out there.
And when we lost steroids in baseball, it became a little harder to hit home runs.
Well, when steroids became harder to find in baseball, I'm sure they're still there.
That's true. Well, Joe Saunders, aside from saying that he went 6-0, he gave us some other news on Friday.
Oh, yeah. He was talking about Jason Bay, who, if you remember, was the Sean Figgins of the Mets.
That's a horrible way to think about him.
Well, I mean, it is a horrible way to think about him. But the difference, if he comes here and becomes the Sean Figgins 2 of the Mariners, at least we won't be paying him like $18 million
that's
or whatever
it was.
A lot
less expensive.
Yeah, we've got him on like a minimum contract or something. So, I mean, I can see where Saunders is going with this. But he said in an interview the other day, Jason Bay is going to be the comeback player of the year this year, and that the Mariners were smart to pick him up. Now, if Jason Bay does come back big time this year and do really well at the plate, I wouldn't disagree with him because we've got him so cheap because of his mediocre performance in New York. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to be possible. Our outfield is too crowded as it is. When's Bay going to get all these opportunities?
For what it's worth, and I understand spring training, he did hit a 2-run home run this weekend, and it has shown that he's healthy. That's actually what I get more from that. Just participating in spring training is something that he's not done consistently.
Yeah.
At least he didn't with the Mets. And if Joe Saunders really believes that, and if he's right, great. If he's wrong, no one's going to remember this.
Yeah,
it'll just
exactly.
be on our podcast. And
I mean, I'll remember it, but
I will remember forever.
never forgive, never forget. No, just kidding. Joe Saunders, I'll forgive you if you're wrong.
Unless you are Hector Noesing it up. you know, let's just transition. We're going to do the lineup in a second. Let's start with this pitching staff. We've been talking hitting for, you know, we talked hitting a lot last week. Let's at least make sure we get to the pitching today.
Yeah.
You had emailed me and just, it was funny the way you put your, like, predictions on the starting lineup. It's not even, like, how they're going to do, it's who's going to start.
Yeah.
And aside from Felix, it could be 4 of 7 to 8 players.
That I feel like the starting rotation is kind of a giant toss-up, and there's maybe 2 or 3 sure things. Because I think Iwakuma is going to be in there, given how he pitched last year, especially toward the end of the year. He was tearing it up. And then we'll all get to go to Safeco and see Iwakuma pitch really long games where he takes like 55 seconds between each pitch
and
contemplates his navel and stuff like that, which is fine. I'm sure Saunders will be in there because we just signed him and he's a lefty and he's replacing Vargas. And obviously Felix, who will be probably riding the bench a lot this year, and we won't see him at all. That was a horrible joke.
Okay, it didn't land. I'm sorry.
No one out there.
I thought you misspoke.
No one out there in podcast land is laughing at me right now.
We need a live studio audience.
I know, or a button of some kind.
Well, go ahead and give me your 1 through 5. If you had to, like, April 1st through 5th, who's starting those days?
Okay, this is not who I would start. This is who I think that the Mariners. This is who I think Eric Wedge will start to start. Felix Hernandez, Saunders, Iwakuma, Bevin at number 4. And I think that just because he got so many chances last year, Hector Noesi is going to round out the lineup at number 5, which I cringe at the thought. But I think that that's what's going to happen because we want to get that value.
I threw up a little bit in my mouth there.
Well, so did I.
We just have so much pitching depth that to think that 2-12 Hector Noesi, and it's not even a 2-12, sorry, wins and losses, he looked miserable. He looked miserable last year.
Well, what was his ERA? Like 5.8? ERA was as tall as I was. We'll put it that way.
If we were good at this, we'd have looked it up. But yeah. I just, you know, passing the eye test, he got smacked on Friday. I guess everyone gets smacked in Arizona. But I agree with you. Okay.
You say smacked. Yeah. Everyone gets smacked in Arizona. But let's just go back for 1 second. Because I listened to that inning that he was in, or maybe he was in 2, whatever, on the radio. And smacked constitutes like 2 walks, a single, and then a subsequent grand slam.
Ugh,
and maybe one out thrown in there. Like, at some point, someone grounded out or something. But, like, the first inning...
He gave up six runs.
Yeah. So, smacked... Like, I mean, to say everyone gets smacked in Arizona, maybe so. But does everyone get smacked 6 runs in the first inning with all those walks? I don't think everyone gets smacked quite that bad. I think Noesi is just bad. And he came over in the Montero deal, didn't he?
Ivan
Nova and stuff like that, who's actually doing well in New York from what I understand.
The Michael Pineda trade, correct.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, we forget Michael Pineda. He's on the DL.
He didn't play last year. I actually, he's coming to camp at Yankee, but the Yankees overweight, so it's hard to be upset, because Noesi is at least playing.
Yeah.
But unimpressive. Unimpressive thus far.
I think, well, they're trying to get the value for him from that trade, but I think we've already gotten the better end of that trade. We don't need to prove something with Noesi. We don't. And I think that he should go down to AAA for a long while, cool his heels, because he's not that good, in my opinion.
The top of my rotation looks about the same with Felix Hernandez. I have Hisashi Iwakuma pitching second for us. Mm-hmm. I feel like his second half last year defied what normally happens to Japanese pitchers in this league. They usually start off really hot with just different types of stuff, different setups, taking a long time. And it takes people time to get used to them, and then they usually, when you think about Daisuke Matsuzaka with the gyro pitch, that wasn't real. People adjusted, and he's now on a minor league deal with the Indians.
Yeah.
But I think Iwakuma got better as the year went on. I think of him as a real quality pitcher that is improving his game and getting better. I have him second. I have Erasmo Ramirez third. He had 2 10-strikeout games last year, battled some injuries, but if he's healthy, I see him as a number 3. Blake Bevin, number 4. I think if you're going to give him a chance, you're going to give him 10, 12 starts before you decide to move on. He showed flashes last year. He went to AAA, was designated for assignment, and then was brought back, and he pitched okay.
I didn't panic when he was on the mound like I did with Noesi. There were times when I would roll my eyes, but like
that sounds more like Blake Bevin.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, he's a control artist, they say, and sometimes if you figure those guys out, they're easy to knock around the park.
A lot of people compared Blake Bevin to a Doug Fister type, and if he could take that step this year, mm-hmm. I mean, I like Doug Fister, I'm a big fan, location guy, a big guy that only throws about 87 to 90. So if he can hit his spots, that'd be great. And I have Joe Saunders as the 5th pitcher. Those of you listening out there, neither of us had Danny Holson, James Paxton in our or Taiwan Walker in there. Any reason for you for that besides, you know, just not being ready, or do you have any other thoughts on that?
If I'm being honest, I don't know how to put this into words. I feel like they should have been. I mean, maybe not brought up last year because last year was kind of a wash. I think they're being groomed for when the Mariners are in a position to have the most successful season they can have.
That's a really good point.
And I don't know if that's this year. I could see them coming up maybe after the All-Star break, getting some experience at the end of this year, because I think this is going to be one of the last rebuilding years for the Mariners. I think the season following this one is when we're going to try to mount our big-time legit playoff run. So I could see them coming up after the All-Star game, getting some starts, you know, seeing some major league batters, and then at the beginning of the year following, all of them in the starting rotation, or whoever we still have if we don't deal any of them. So that's my thought.
I do want to take a pause here to talk about Taiwan Walker. Mm-hmm. If you want to take the lead on this, you can. But that article about
his spike, he spikes his curveball now.
Yeah, and I know that we leave, we have an off season, we come back, and all these writers are like, oh, he has a new pitch, he has a new this. I don't care if he has a new pitch or not. The fact that he spent this off season on baseball, working on baseball, working on his delivery, changing who he is and what he's doing. That's a big deal to me. And, you know, whether he has a new spike curve or not, I don't really care. I love that he's 20 years old and he's working on baseball.
Yeah.
And now a quick word from our sponsor. What? We don't have a sponsor? Okay. We'll just keep going then.
Not yet. Not this time.
You know, maybe Subway or like, let's see, who sponsors the Mariners? That's like Root Sports or, no, they wouldn't sponsor us.
Sodexo?
Ooh, there we go. they feed us. Let's jump into the batting order. Unless you have anything more. Do you have anything more on the pitchers? I'm sorry to cut you off there.
No, not really. I mean, he's got the new spike curve, and I know that a bunch of players, he like went to live pitching practice, and a bunch of players, the only one who got a good hit off that pitch was Seager, and he comes out and he's like, whoa, it's crazy good, like Pop-Tarts or whatever. And so
yeah,
everyone's like, ranting and raving about it, but they're gonna say that. So I'm excited for it. I want to see it. But, you know, whatever. It's a new pitch. It's good.
He was, like, at the very end of practice, like, he faced Seager and Morse, and they were amazed. It's like, okay. Come on. You guys aren't trying yet.
Yeah, you haven't seen. I mean, it's nothing you haven't seen before, I'm sure.
By the way, did you see Morse's home run? So he was talking to MLB Network, and I caught the interview, and they showed this, like, grainy footage, and they're playing in just a park. They're just kind of hanging out, and he said that Jack Zirinczyk dropped by, and he wanted to impress the GM. He hit a ball like 600 feet. The camera was from this kid was holding a camera from his car or from like next to his car, and you can't see Michael Morse. Like, you can't see the batter. He's that far away, and there's a baseball field, a street, and then a parking lot. It landed in the parking lot.
That is right? That's like Jim Tomey far.
Yeah. It was just crap. Really cool. And Morse was like, yeah, I don't think I could do that in a game, but the pitcher was throwing him just perfect, and I just unloaded. And I was like, that's so cool.
You know, it makes you wonder, because when I was younger, I saw that SportsCenter highlight of Jim Tomey hitting that, like, 617-foot home run or whatever. And like, back then, I was like, that's awesome! He's such a huge power hitter! I loved Jim Tomey as a kid, but you have to wonder, like, did the pitcher screw up somehow? Or, like, how good was that pitch for him that he got that exact sweet ball to knock that one way out of there? But
it was like an MVP baseball as a kid. Like, if the pitcher messed up, it would, like, flash green, and you knew you could just hit a home run. That's all you had to do. Just, oh, home run, cool. And that just must be what they see sometimes. So let's get into the batting order for the Mariners this year. In the first four games of spring training, it has been a complete
mishmash. And it's going to be. It's going to be. It's spring training. We're going to see Carlos Peguero and stuff.
Yeah,
and we're going to see the players who won't be on the 25-man roster.
Mike Jacobs playing first base. You know, it's not going to happen this season, but it's good to see. Anyway, so we're going to go through the lineup 1 through 9. I think we all know what number 9 is, but we'll wait just in case there's some suspense. I haven't seen Peyton's list. He hasn't seen mine. If we agree 1 through 9, this will be the most boring podcast of all time.
We have not met, nor have we prearranged anything. Ladies and gentlemen, we neither of us have seen each other's lineups. We both made these in private and in secret.
This is the unveiling. Let's start off with leadoff. I'm going to go ahead and defer to you, and we'll go every other like a... Okay. I don't know what it's like.
Sounds
like
good.
A snake draft.
There we go.
Yeah.
So leadoff, Ackley at second base. I've got
Preston Crackley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kristen Dingby.
How long can you do that, by the way?
Forever. I was texting my friend. I was texting my friend, and one day, and we had just left the Mariners game.
Was this Daniel? Because yeah. I know Daniel just crushes me with these.
It was Daniel and
Dustin Bing Bong,
Duncan Punkin. Like we just keep going, and like it gets to the point where the names sound like the name that came before it, which only mildly sounds like the name that came before it. So we go from Dustin Ackley to like Kangaroo Jackson. It's like it escalates way too fast. But yeah, I can do that basically forever, especially via text.
That's great. So I think the Dustin Ackley will lead off, but I think when I wrote my lineup, I have Michael Saunders leading off. And the reason I have that is I think Michael Saunders is great. I think that his average is gonna improve, and I think he has a potential this year to be – he was one home run away from a 2020 guy last year. I think he has 30-30 potential. I understand. I'm a Mariners fan. Take that for what it's worth.
With a grain of salt.
With a grain of salt.
Big grain of salt.
Think about the last 2 years. We've seen Mike Trout, who is an abnormal athlete, but he led off. He hit 30 home runs, and he put a charge into the Angels like we've never seen. 2 years ago, Jacoby Ellsbury became a power hitter. He hit 32 home runs. Finished second in the MVP voting, leading off. That power at the beginning of the lineup, that threat, I think will open up the rest of the lineup, and I don't think Dustin Ackley can bring that right now.
No.
So I think that Saunders leading off would be fun. And
I think it'd be fun, but I don't think it's what's going to happen. I think Ackley's going to lead off, and I think he's going to lead off all year, regardless of if he's batting .213 in 2 months. I still think he'll be leading off because that's just kind of how things seem to go, if you know what I'm saying. But
I do have Dustin Ackley batting second in my lineup. I think that just giving him, I think the two hole has a little bit less pressure than leading off, and pressure seems so silly to bring up with baseball players. These guys can take it and leave it, and all those things. But he's a prospect still. He's so young, and he was a number two overall pick a few years ago. Let's give him every opportunity to succeed. If that's leadoff, lead him off. If it's two, let's go two. Why not? This is the future of our team. He's going to be here for at least 5 more years. Let's give him every opportunity to succeed.
The two spot was interesting for me because I think it's so open. I think that there's more than one player that we have who can bat two. And for me, two was pretty close between Saunders and Gutierrez. I ended up deciding that Gutierrez is going to go probably bat second because he's a little bit older, has a little bit more experience. If he can stay healthy, they want to put him in a position where he's comfortable to bat and where Eric Wedge is showing Gutierrez like, hey, I'm confident that you can do this.
Yeah.
Because when you bat an older player super low in the lineup, like 7 or 8, and all these young guys before them who have not necessarily proven themselves, if I was Gutierrez, I could see being like, what? And he's not been the most productive hitter all the time, but
that player has to be prepared to do that. Brendan Ryan prepared to do that.
Yeah.
Is Goody? Maybe not.
Yeah. And Brendan Ryan knows. I mean, he's got to know. Seriously.
Oh yeah, he knows. But does Gutierrez know? That's a good point.
I don't think Gutierrez knows. And I think that he'll bat second for that reason. And because I see him bat second all the time when he played last year. And I think Wedge, that habit will die hard for him. I think he'll have Goody batting in there.
Since Eric Wedge became a manager of the Mariners, he's really been most loose with the two hole. I cannot believe I just said that. With the second spot in the lineup, he's been the most just like ready to change it up. He's batted Brendan Ryan there. He's batted Gutierrez there. He's batted guys that just need a boost. He's like, go second. Sean Figgins, go second. Let's just try it. And he gets people motivated. And I think that batting second is gonna fluctuate throughout the year.
Yeah,
but I can Gutierrez. That's a good point. Gutierrez could be there. I don't have him starting, which is why I don't have him there.
Yeah.
And then who do you have hitting third?
Morse.
Okay.
I have Morse sitting third.
This is our first agreement.
Okay.
This is our first agreement, Michael Morse.
The thing about Morse is that I could see him hitting third or fourth. But I think he's gonna hit third because if he doesn't hit third, I think Seager would hit third.
Mm-hmm.
And Morse hitting third kind of messes with the middle, like the power middle of my lineup a little bit because I get a little confused as to who I would actually put.
Hmm.
But really, Morse is probably going to bat third. He's got the power. But he's not overwhelming with the power. He can get on base too. So I think that Morse is probably going to hit third.
From what I've seen of him this spring, and I'm not talking about baseball. I'm talking about leadership and being off the field and being good with the media. I mean, who's the last Mariners player that's been good with the media? You know, Brendan Ryan. That, I mean, I'm serious. Yeah. Like, Ichiro doesn't talk to the media. He has a translator who's been here for 12 years. You know, and...
Well, and the translator, I'm pretty sure that was a farce.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He just didn't want to talk to anybody.
And you know, Felix, I think he's going to be more open talking to the media, but he's not going to be interviewed every day.
Yeah.
Michael Morse, as a leader, as hitting in the three, I really like it. I did want to ask you one thing before we moved on. When you said Michael Saunders or Franklin Gutierrez is batting second, do you have one of them starting and one of them not starting?
Or are they both in your lineup? I actually have them both in my lineup.
Okay, then we'll save that for later then. But, I was curious if that was your question, if you have just one of them in there.
No, but like you were saying about the guys good with the media last year, I think John Jaso was one of those guys.
Yeah.
But he was he was John Wayne good with the media.
John Wayne Jaso.
You know, like you say to John Wayne, like, you know, oh, you're mad. Like, oh, the hell I'm not. Like, you know, John Jaso is kind of like, he just kind of looks into the camera. He's like, you know, he's just got it done today. You know, it's just cream to the face. Like, you know, I don't know.
He was getting a lot of pies to the face.
Yeah. Shaving cream, wasn't it?
I don't know. I've never been hit with that in the face. I've never hit a walk off.
I don't think it's pie, man. I think
this
is kind of like
pie.
Our last podcast where we were talking about the Felix deal, and then it was like he's got 7 years and he's 27, and then he'll be 33 when the deal's over. And I was listening to it again, and I was like, oh yeah, that's really bad math. Like, you know, now we're not even fact checking. We're just like, oh, it's like sour cream or like pie or maybe shaving cream to the face. Whatever they throw at the end.
Numbers,
you know.
Pie. We're not getting it right on this show.
But we are getting it right with the lineups.
Speaking of pie, who's in your cleanup spot?
I've got Morales taking the pie.
Whoa.
On that one.
Okay. I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Really?
Yeah, I am. Go ahead.
He just
defend yourself.
He just seems like a big power guy to me.
Okay.
I think he's gonna. I mean, I think that he'll be in that cleanup spot at the end of the year? No, I do not think that's the case. I think he will start there.
Give the fans something? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I mean, like, he's this new guy. You know, he's hit a few home runs in his day. Do I think he'll hit tons here? Maybe. Do I think he'll break 30? I think it's possible. I think it's more likely that he'll hit like 20 or 25. Mm. And I think that he'll start out in that number four spot because he's kind of, to Mariners fans, sort of an unknown as a Mariner. And we know Morse is going to have that power and he's going to be in that three spot and he'll hit home runs and do whatever, get on base. But I think that we're going to, for at least the first couple months, Morales will bat four. And then maybe if Montero develops a little more, maybe if something changes with Seager, he bats third, we move Morse down to cleanup. I don't know. But I think that that's how it's going to start. I don't necessarily think that's how it's going to end.
Who hits more home runs this year, Michael Morse or Kendrys Morales?
Michael Morse.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to argue there, but I'm not going to.
Argue for the sake of argument.
I have Kyle Seager batting fourth for one reason and one reason alone. I think about Seager as a two-out RBI machine. He led the American League in two-out RBIs. That's not like a stat that is going to happen every year, but when I think about a guy that can get that guy from second base home, I want it to be Kyle Seager. Batting fourth, there's going to be two outs. There's going to be one guy on, you know, first, maybe Saunders or Ackley Steele. And it gives Seager a chance. And I think Kyle Seager is, I think he's great. And I want him at the top, as high, in a great power position for the Mariners team.
Well, I mean, you say Seager fourth, so let's just move on to where I have Seager, which is fifth.
Okay. And I have Morales fifth. So we just have them flipped.
Yeah. And you know what? It could be flipped. They're not the same player by any stretch of the imagination, but in that power middle, they're similar enough to where you could kind of flip them. I have Seager batting fifth, mostly because I didn't know where else to put him because I had Morse batting third, and I would have batted Seager third if not for Morse. So and I knew he had to be in that middle, but I didn't want to bat Montero fifth, so I have Seager fifth.
Okay.
Yeah, and you have Morales fifth?
I have Morales fifth. No great reason, just our lineup's getting better, and a great bat like that batting fifth is good for our team.
Yeah.
And, I think Morales is going to be good this year. I don't think he'll hit as many home runs as we expect, but I do expect him to hit 280 or 290.
Yeah.
And that on this team is probably going to lead the team. I would love it if it didn't.
Yeah, but I would love it if someone would bat over 300. One person, please. Anyone. I'm begging you.
It'd be great to have a 300 hitter in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah.
That we haven't had.
I could see Morse yeah. Hitting over 300.
Even in his best year, he didn't do that, but yeah, I could too. Batting sixth. Now, this is where we're going to start, I think. Before 9, I think we're going to start to get really far off because...
I think the 7-8 spots are going to be super, super different between us.
I'm doing this... This is my... you had your Ackley first, Gutierrez second because of where you think Wedge will do.
Yeah.
I think that Raul Ibanez will start in right field and bat sixth. I'm annoyed at this, but I also trust Ibanez. Like, it seems like a weird contradiction, but it truly is like, I know what Ibanez is going to give me. I know 100% what I'm getting.
Well, and the thing that I think I can pinpoint the thing that annoys you about it, and it's the thing that annoys me too. We have Ibanez playing out there, and he's at near the tail end kind of his career. He's been out here for a long time, and he's playing there when, if the Mariners mount a playoff run this year, it'll be wild card. We probably won't make it to the big dance. I say big dance as if that's like a thing.
Yeah, the World Series. Yeah, I like the big dance.
But we probably won't make it to the World Series this year. And we've got Ibanez out there, and he's a little bit older. But there's talent, like traffic jammed behind him that needs to get that experience. And I don't mistrust Ibanez. I don't think he'll do terribly. But why would we not give this talent behind him a chance to play more and develop so that we can have a World Series caliber team in 2 or 3 years, or at least a really good playoff run in 2 or 3 years, and we play him this year as if like, all right, we're letting it ride and this is the best we can offer and we're gonna make it to the playoffs with Ibanez, and I mean, I'm not saying he's the reason, but like, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So that's why you're annoyed, and I'm annoyed at that, the possibility of that happening too.
It's a weird happy annoyed. Because I might be very happy, but for now I'm annoyed because it's February. Who do you have sixth?
Montero.
Okay, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I still think
versus the other Montero.
Versus all those other Monteros, I think that he belongs in that in kind of that power, that middle of the lineup. But the tail end of it, because I don't think he's quite proven himself to be that big time power hitter that we all kind of thought he was going to be. So I think six is a good spot for him. And it's lower pressure. I mean, I know we talked about pressure earlier, like, ooh, do players, does it really affect them that much? But I think it does a little bit. And I think that Montero, in that six spot, he's a little bit lower in the lineup, but he's still high enough where he's like, you know, I'm a power hitter, but he's not the power hitter. And I think that he'll be able to excel there. And maybe he can move up. If something happens with Morse or Morales, he can probably move up.
He'd be a great fill-in guy to go up in the lineup, but I have him seventh for the same reasons. And I got to say, Jesus Montero, what a great situation for him this year. He's going to be able to catch. That means his numbers are going to improve like they did last year. Mm-hmm. He's younger than I am. He was born in 1989.
Wow.
November of 89. And for us to be disappointed in his year last year is fair because of the hype. But the hype was ridiculous.
Too much.
For a 20, he's going to be 23 this year.
Playing. Younger than me, man.
Yeah, and, you know, if someone tells me, you know, oh, he's going to hit his prime when he's 26, that sounds great. Because he's going to keep growing, he's going to keep getting better. And this new lineup has enabled him to bat later in the lineup to be, you know, a couple less at-bats where they work on his catching. And when he's up to plate, he just has to worry about doing his thing. He doesn't have to worry about carrying the team.
Get a single, get a double, do whatever. I mean,
he had some home runs last year that were beautiful. Like,
yeah.
It's like, wow, he really connected, and I thought it was a pop-up. And I think that's going to be good for him. I think it's going to be great for him. Who do you have seven?
Saunders, batting seventh.
Okay.
And it's
like a restart to the lineup.
Kind of. And that's exactly the words I was going to use.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, the fact that you took the words out of my mouth just there means that people will know what I'm talking about when I have him here. He's quick. He can get on base. He might go 30-30. And like I said, with a lot of these guys, I see them staying there. I see Ackley probably staying leadoff. And I see a lot of these guys maybe staying where they are in this lineup. But Saunders is a guy who he'll probably start seven. I don't think he'll finish there. Hmm. I think that he'll get moved around in the lineup. But I could see him coming out opening day batting seventh.
And he's flexible with that. I think he's shown over the last year, 2 years, that he can fill in. He can be kind of moved around, and he's still going to show up.
Yeah, he can bat second. He can bat fifth. He can bat eighth, and mm-hmm. he seems fine with it. He's been thrown, you know, all over that lineup, and so I think that he's going to be all right. Who do you have, seven?
I have Montero.
That means we
both have the same end of the lineup, which is pretty crazy. We have Smoke and Ryan, 8-9.
Yeah. I thought that's where we would. I thought we would disagree on that 8-spot Smoke, but I like it because I.
We agreed twice on this list. 3 at Morse and 8 Justin Smoke and Brendan Ryan.
Yeah.
But that was a given.
But everyone agreed.
But that is really surprising, especially if you tell me after that Cliff Lee trade, that first baseman you got that Keith Law loves and he's number 8 on the prospect list, he's going to bat 8 for you in 2 years.
Well, here's the thing.
3 years.
Here's the thing about Smoke. Wedge wants to give him another chance.
I do too.
I do too. I would love to see Smoke succeed.
Yeah.
Like we said, with that marketable last name. But here's the deal. I think we have to bat him 8th. Smoke needs to bat low in the lineup because he's had all this pressure. The Mariners have built marketing campaigns around this dude. Yeah. His face is plastered all over the place. Justin Smoke, Smoke Bomb, Smoke Emotive, whatever. Everyone expects him to come out and hit home runs like he's Mark McGwire and go crazy. But he doesn't because he's still a kid. And when we put him in that 8 spot, that's like saying, you know what, man? Just focus on being a player, a normal player.
Yeah.
And we have normal expectations for you. And I don't like to talk crap about Smoke, but it's so easy to do sometimes because the expectations were through the roof.
He's a kid with another new swing.
A new swing. We've been promised it's even better. So...
Yeah,
I stopped reading that article after like the third sentence when
I watched
basically
that. I watched that little video. For those that don't know what we're talking about, Seattle Times reporter. Was it Jeff Baker?
I'm not sure. It was in the blog. It was in the Seattle Times blog.
You can check it out at Seattle Times. I don't know. Not trying to steal any information, but Justin Smoke has a new hitting coach, his agent, and they did this slow hit thing. And the video was just excruciating to watch because it's so slow.
Yeah.
And...
He takes 60 seconds to do one full swing?
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. But the bat doesn't leave his shoulder, so it's just his body. And Smoke tried this last year in the middle of the year, but didn't have enough time to... It just sounds rough to me. You know, Albert Pujols isn't doing that. Mike Trout's not doing that this obviously. Mike Trout gained 20 pounds and is faster now, you know.
Somehow.
I'm nervous. Also, is like the same thing we heard last year.
Well, I stopped reading the piece when it more or less, I'm paraphrasing here, said, I know we said that Justin Smoke has a new swing last year, but trust me, this new swing is totally
better.
Different. It's totally a different thing. And I don't necessarily think, I don't want to say if I think it's true or not. I don't want to make any bold statements here because it's not really worth making a bold statement about. I just really hope that if Smoke can't produce in a way that makes us happy, he at least has some sort of minor anything trade value that we can get rid of him before the deadline. And I would love to see him succeed. I would love to see all the Mariners succeed, except for Noesi. I'd like to see him gone. But, you know.
Wouldn't that be great if Smoke did just have this new swing? And, like, we didn't even recognize him. Like, it's just completely new.
He comes out and hits 40 home runs and bats, like, 310.
Well, he, like, also swings like a crazy person. Like, he's a revolutionary swing where he closes his eyes and spins in a circle and then opens and swings and he just hits everything. Like, that would be a new swing.
That's like some Angels in the Outfield stuff right there.
You just talked about that movie way too much today.
Well, it's not my fault. I watched it yesterday or the day before.
Okay.
It is my fault because I watched it
yesterday.
Sounds
like you had a good weekend.
I did. A crazy good weekend. I brought this up before the show too. The starting pitcher for the Angels in that Angels in the outfield. The starting their ace at the beginning. Whit Bass is his name.
Whit Bass,
and he slides out to the pitcher's mound every time. It's like his signature thing. And the announcer comes out. And he's like, "Here comes Bass with his signature slide out to the mound. He's 2-11 this year." And I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, Hector Noesi was 2-12 last year. He's our Whit Bass. We're Angels in the outfield. It made me sad, but you know, it's okay.
So we're gonna win the pennant, and our dad's gonna come home.
No, our dad's gonna abandon us, and we're all gonna get adopted by Eric Wedge. Which I mean,
that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Oh, Dad,
we're gonna be a family. Anyway, we could talk about Ryan, but what's there to say other than that he's batting ninth and will bat ninth all year?
I don't have anything to say.
Yeah, me either. Bunt him home.
Yeah. This is the Seattle Mariners pod. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Budke and at Patton Moreno. Patton?
Payton?
Why did I do that?
I don't know, man. Everyone does that. It's all good.
But I know you. Like, we're friends. We do this show together.
You know what? It's okay. You know, I'll let it slide this once.
Thanks. I am the Brendan Ryan of podcast producer, host, co-host.
And I'm the Munenori Kawasaki.
Hey. Are you on a team?
I don't know. I think I'm going back to Japan. Hopefully. I'd like to see him play. Anywho, yes, we have laid down the law here on the podcast, everybody, and we will see you next time.
Cheers. Okay, how about now? Is it any better?
Are there any... Snowball, are you there?
This is more level, Lee.
Are you reading a Snowball? Are you getting the levels?
It's the next level. So if we're just looking at it, we're fine. This is pretty good distance.
Next level!